Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Some years ago, James Cameron, the film director, he made Titanic, Terminator, Avatar. He's an atheist. He made a documentary stating that we have found the dead body of Jesus Christ, bones and all. Now, never mind that no archaeologists agreed with him, but he caused a stir. And you know what some Christians said? Well, James Cameron, even if you're right, and even if Jesus is dead, I'm still going to believe in Him. I wouldn't go that route. That makes no sense, because Paul the Apostle said, if Jesus is not raised, we Christians are to be pitied. We're believing in a hoax. If Jesus is dead, we don't believe in Him. So, today for the program, I want us to ask two questions. Number one, what if James Cameron is right? What if Jesus is dead? What would the results of that be? But then question number two, because He is risen from the dead, what are the results of Christ's glorious and historic resurrection? Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There were false teachers in the Corinthian church who were teaching nobody will rise from the dead. Paul's wrong on that. Let's see what Paul wrote back to defend himself. 1 Corinthians 15, let's pray. Father, we pray for people like James Cameron and others who reject You, that somehow they will repent and come to Christ before they die. And Lord, speak to us about the very central historic fact of the entire human history, which is Jesus rose from the dead. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn? Again, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here is what the Apostle Paul writes back at the heretics. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, like we apostles do, how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we apostles have even been found to be false witnesses of God, because we witnessed against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Here's the first thing that is true if Jesus is dead. Your faith is worthless. It's useless. I mean, let's close the doors of all the churches, because Christianity is built on a lie. That would be true if Jesus is dead. Here's a man who sees a little girl who believes in Jesus, and he says, "Oh, little girl, there have been so many Christs, so many messiahs, you don't know which one you believe in." And she said, "Oh, yes, I do, sir. I believe in the one who rose from the dead." And that is the distinctive of Christianity. There are other saviors in the world. The one who rose from the dead is Jesus. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I wouldn't be a Christian. So there's a story, a true story of a young man that goes into the professor's office and says, "Professor, I want to start a new religion because I don't like all the division caused by the various religions of the world. So I want to start a religion of peace. Do you have any advice for me?" The professor thought a moment. "Yes. Go out into the street. See if you can find someone who will crucify you. Then 3 days later, raise yourself from the dead, and then come back, and we'll talk." All right. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, it's over. Verse 17, and you are still in your sins. The next result, if Jesus is dead, you are still damned. You're in your sins. Now, normally we talk about our salvation happening on the cross when Jesus paid for our sins, and that's true. But you know what Paul says in Romans chapter 4? Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. That means not only the cross, but also the resurrection of Christ justifies us, makes us right before God. You got to have both the cross and the resurrection for our salvation. Verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep, the dead Christians, in Christ have perished. Here's the next result if Jesus is dead. Your dead loved ones are dead. Your grandma who led you to Christ, she's just dead. Your five-year-old daughter who was killed in a car accident, she's dead. Your spouse who believed in Christ and you love so, they're all dead. If Jesus is dead, everybody's dead. Verse 19, if we, Christians, if we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. Here's the last result if Jesus is dead. We, Christians, are to be pitied. Now and then I'll go to a Chinese restaurant and I'll notice over in the corner they have a little altar set up to Buddha. And they'll have the Buddha statue on the altar and they'll have flowers and maybe some rice and some offerings to Buddha. And when I see that, I pray for the people that own the restaurant because I think they're duped. But listen, if Jesus is dead, we Christians are the ones who are duped. One of the prettiest places in America is Sedona, Arizona. Beautiful orange rocks. It's also the New Age capital of the United States. People come from all over the world to visit the vortex. And you can go on the New Age Jeep tour. And I saw this lady put a bunch of tourists in her van and took them off to go stand on this mountain and hold their hands over the hole so they could absorb the healing energies of the vortex. And when that van took off, I prayed for the people in that van because I think they're deluded. But again, Paul the Apostle would say, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we Christians are the ones who are deluded. All right, the first question was, what happens if Jesus is dead? And we learned, then your faith is useless, you're damned, your loved ones are dead, and we Christians are deluded. Last question for the program, and this is a much happier question. What is true if Jesus is risen from the dead? Because he is. So let's look at that. Verse 20. But now, says the Apostle Paul, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. So the first result of Christ's resurrection, our resurrection, is assured. In the Old Testament, the Jews would bring their first fruits to the temple, and that was the first of their crops. They offered to the Lord, knowing the rest of the crop is coming. Well, that's what Jesus did. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was the first of the crop, assuring that the rest of us, too, one day will be raised from the dead. So a man was talking to his Christian friend and said, you know, I can prove how your Bible is a hoax. The man said, well, how's that? Well, when Jesus supposedly raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus stood before the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus is God. He knows. Why did he say the word Lazarus? See, it makes no sense. And the Christian responded, I think it makes sense. Because if Jesus would just have said, come forth, the whole graveyard would have gotten up. That's what first fruits is. Because Jesus rose, one day everybody's going to rise from the dead. Verse 21. For since by a man, he's now talking about Adam, since by Adam came death, by a man, now Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. There's the next result of Christ's resurrection. Jesus undoes what Adam did to us. Adam got us all damned Jesus gets us all saved. Adam got us into death. Jesus brings us into life. Adam got us into hell. Jesus gets us into heaven. The reason Christ came to earth was to undo what Adam did to us. Next result of the resurrection, verse 23. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming, the second coming. And then comes the end, when Jesus delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. For he, Jesus, must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. Here's the next result of Christ's resurrection. Jesus will win over all. I remember I preached a sermon once, and I was upset about something happening in our culture, so I preached about it. And a dear lady of our church grabs my hand as I'm shaking hands at the door and says, "Now remember, Pastor Tom, God is still on his throne." Which was her way of saying, remember, Jesus at the end is going to win over everything. I used to do a radio show. And at the beginning of each program, I did a heresy update. And I sometimes would go to churches that I knew were bad, and I would report on them. So one Sunday, I went to a very heretical congregational church in downtown Minneapolis. And they've had a woman who's really, who takes shots, so she's got a beard. And then the preacher got up and did this prayer. O Allah, Jehovah, Goddess, unknown one. He gave about 8 names for God and then prayed. I was grieved. Then I go to the big Episcopal Cathedral in downtown Minneapolis, very, very radical church. And during the sermon, the pastor leaves the pulpit, comes down and says to this homosexual couple, John and Tony, your loving, committed relationship doesn't threaten my heterosexual marriage. And I'm a Lutheran, and so there's a Lutheran church near my house. And I went there one Sunday, and this woman preacher gets up. You know, some of you had a difficult father, so it's hard for you to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. So why don't you pray to Our Mother who art in heaven? And, you know, this kind of stuff drives me crazy. But what I have to remember is the truth of 1 Corinthians 15. One day Jesus comes back, and not the congregational church wins or the liberal Lutheran. Jesus wins on the last day. You know, doesn't American politics kind of drive you nuts? And can I tell you what really grieves me? Finally, Roe versus Wade was overthrown, and now some states are voting abortion into their state constitutions to get it back. And what scares me, a lot of America loves abortion. That puts us in trouble with the God of life, with the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. This is scary for me. But again, I got to remember, on the last day, Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinic and the people promoting abortion in America, they don't win. Jesus wins on the last day. I saw a mom, and she had a t-shirt that said, "'Cause I'm the mom, that's why." And I thought of the second coming of Christ when Jesus returns and says, "'Cause I'm the Lord of the universe, that's why, and he will win over everyone and everything." Next result of the resurrection of Christ, verse 26. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. The next result of Christ's resurrection, death will be destroyed. But I want you to notice in this verse, death is still called an enemy. And I had a seminary professor who said, you know, when somebody's lost their husband or wife, don't quickly say, well, they're in heaven, death means nothing to us Christians. No, no, death is still an enemy until the second coming of Christ. I mean, in my family, we had to watch Dad slowly die of cancer. Then my sister slowly die of lupus. Then my mom slowly die of cancer. Death is awful, but one day Christ will win. Lastly, let's skip down to verse 58. Therefore, because Christ is risen, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Here's the last result of the resurrection. Your work for God matters. I mean, if we're not raised from the dead, Paul says, well, then let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But if people are going to be raised from the dead, then you will be rewarded for everything you did for the Lord. So just keep serving the Lord, because your service is not in vain. All right, well, I'll close with this. I always pray before I get on the airplane, Lord, sit me next to somebody, if it's your will, that open a door in the conversation that I can talk to them about Jesus. So I sit down, and I'm sitting next to this rather attractive businesswoman, and the plane takes off, and I asked her, do you live in Minneapolis? I've lived here a few years, but I was raised in California. She said I had hippie parents, and she said that, you know, her parents were nominally Jewish, but not really, and so she had no religion growing up. And I said to her, what do you do for a living? Well, I fly around the country, and I demonstrate medical equipment. I said, oh. And she said to me, what do you do for a living? Because I don't wear this on the plane. And I said, well, I'm a Lutheran pastor. And she said, really? I'm interested in spiritual things. What do Lutherans believe? And I thought, well, there's a little door. And I said, well, I believe we're all sinners. People think you get to heaven by being good. That doesn't work, because we're all sinners. The way we get to heaven is God loved us so much, he came down from heaven. God became a human being. His name was Jesus. He lived the perfect life we couldn't. He went to the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead. And the Bible promises you that if you believe in Jesus, when you die, you don't go to hell. You're forgiven of your sins, and you go to heaven. And when I said that, she said, you know, I've always thought it was bizarre that people would believe what you just said. But since I've moved to Minneapolis, I know people that believe just like you do, and they're my friends now, and I really like these people. And so we had a good long talk about Jesus. But here's my point. Everybody, you're going to be raised from the dead someday. Serve the Lord now. Because when you talk to somebody about Jesus, even if they think you're bizarre, your labor is not in vain. One day you will be rewarded. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is from a viewer. The Apostles' Creed says Christ was crucified, buried, then raised. But he told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Can you explain this?
Yeah, I think what he's asking is, today you'll be with me in paradise. But Jesus didn't rise from the dead till 3 days later. So what's going on? I'm kind of guessing. Some of this stuff is not spelled out. But when the thief and Jesus died, their spirits went to paradise. But Jesus did not get raised bodily in his glorified body until 3 days later. That's when his dead body came forth. And it was still his body, because it had the wounds in the side and in the hands. So it was still his physical body, but it was now glorified, and it's somehow much better. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Will we recognize our loved ones in heaven?
Yeah, we get this question, so I'll give my pat response. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Well, you've never seen them, neither have I, but somehow we will know in heaven, there's Abraham, there's Isaac. I think you'll know, there's my husband, there's my granddaughter. You know, you won't be married. Jesus said you don't get married in heaven, because nobody. You don't need to repopulate heaven, because nobody ever dies. So you won't be married to your spouse in heaven, but I think you'll know there they are.
I agree.
Yeah.
Do we sleep in the ground until judgment day and then are raised, or do we go to heaven immediately when we die?
Yeah. That probably is the most frequent question. I've been a pastor now, 45 years? Yeah, and of all the questions, I get that one the most, like at a funeral. Is grandma in heaven now, or is she sleeping till judgment day when Jesus comes down in the cloud and raises the dead? And I say, yes, both. The way I understand it, your spirit goes to be with Christ when you die. But we don't get our perfect new glorified bodies like Jesus got at the resurrection. We don't get those until judgment day. Then we're raised and we live in these wonderful new bodies for eternity. So I think both are true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from a viewer. I thank our merciful God for purgatory. At least we have a chance of eventually getting into heaven once we have done full repentance of our sins.
Yeah. Mona, just so people know, I'm not a Catholic priest. I'm a Lutheran pastor. Lutherans wear the collar, too. I don't believe in purgatory. It's not in the Bible. And it's kind of work salvation that the Catholic teaching is you can go to purgatory maybe for hundreds of years, and you get your sins purged off, burned off, or whatever, and then when you're worthy, you go to heaven. I don't believe that because I believe Christ's death is what we need for our salvation, not me going to purgatory for hundreds of years. Jesus has taken care of my sin debt. I believe when you're a believer in Christ, when you die, you immediately go to heaven. You don't have to go to purgatory for hundreds of years. This is what caused the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. Luther was a Catholic monk, but he starts seeing stuff that's just not in the book. Mm-hmm. The Orthodox Church does not have, that's the other branch that goes way back. They don't have purgatory because, again, it's not in the Bible.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I recently discovered a grocery store near me that sells mutton and goat meat. I haven't found one since I left Africa and returned to the States years ago, where I acquired a taste for those meats. The problem for me is that the meat at this grocery store is declared halal. Didn't know what that meant all that time ago. Since the butcher slaughterer invokes the name of Allah when cutting the animal's arteries, veins, and throat, I don't know if I should even think of buying or consuming such, given the ritual involved.
I'm not a real expert in this either, but here I think is the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the question, what if you go to the meat market and they've sacrificed the goats to Aphrodite? Can I buy it as a Christian? And Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 25, eat anything that is sold in the marketplace without asking question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. In other words, God made all this food. It's okay to eat it. You don't have to ask questions. Was this sacrifice? But then Paul says this, if one of the unbelievers invites you and you wish to go, eat what is set before you without asking questions. But if anyone should say to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it. For the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sakes, not your conscience, but the man who informed you. So sometimes you say, no, I'm not going to eat that because they told you, well, this is sacrifice. So for their sake and their conscience, you abstain. But I think you can go to the meat market. Don't ask questions of where this comes from, because God made the meat and you can eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of questions on homosexuality, mm-hmm. So I'll read the first one. My granddaughter has been living with a woman for 2 years now and is marrying her. I told her that I couldn't go to the wedding because I believe a marriage is between a man and a woman. I broke her heart when I told her that, and I cried for weeks that I broke her heart. I love her so much, and I told her that. Did I do the right thing?
You did the right thing. And let me just say this for our viewers. If you're a Protestant or an evangelical, Google the words Restored Hope Network. And you will, or go to our website, pastorstudy.org, and go down to the question about homosexuality, is there help? There's groups all over the country. They're part of what's called the Restored Hope Network. These are small groups where if you have same-sex attraction, you can get help, and mm-hmm. or there's counselors, etc. If you're a Catholic, there's an international group called Courage International. Same thing. You can go to this group and you'll get support from the little group and from the priest, etc. So there is help out there. I think this grandma did what she should. You lovingly, humbly tell them, I love you, but I can't go to the wedding because I want what's best for you. Mm-hmm. And 1 Corinthians 6 says if you continue in that lifestyle, you're not going to heaven. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And I'll tell you, so I went to once a year, the Catholic Courage Group has a really good conference. So I went a couple years ago. And this Catholic couple gets up and told their story of their granddaughter coming out of the, or no, their daughter coming out of the closet. And the dad told the gut-wrenching story, and he said, mm-hmm. When she told me that, I said, I still love you, but you know this is wrong. And he said, at that moment, I should have said, and if you get married someday to a woman, I can't come. Because he said what happened was he didn't say that. Later, she gets engaged to a woman, and when he informs them he's not going to the wedding, the wife of his daughter went through the roof. So I think
early on tell them, I love you, I'll always love you, but this behavior is wrong and I can never endorse it and I'm not going to the wedding.
Speak the truth in love.
That's right. Yep.
Can you tell me, please, how does the ELCA defend that being gay, transgender, etc., and abortion is okay? What scripture do they use?
Not only the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but the United Church of Christ, the United Methodists, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopalians, they all now endorse, and they have, practicing homosexual pastors who will perform homosexual weddings. How do they justify it? They don't. You know what I remember arguing with the liberal Lutheran pastor, and well, we know more about this issue than the Apostle Paul had in the first century. We're smarter than the Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to write Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. I don't think so. I think it's arrogance. And they think, you know, the other thing is arrogant. So we Christians today, we understand the Bible in a new way that nobody got for 2,000 years. I mean, we're smarter than all the Christians that have come before us. This is arrogance, Mona. Mm-hmm. And it's why I led our congregation out of the ELCA Lutherans into a biblical branch of Lutheranism. And you can do that. I mean, if you want to stay a Methodist, fine. You leave the Methodist Church for the global Methodists who are still biblical. So there's options out there. Mona, we got a minute. I have a dear friend who attends a Lutheran church where I grew up, and she's still in the ELCA, and we've had some disagreement on this. But she said, my church isn't liberal. We're still conservative. I said, yeah, but you're paying money to the ELCA so they can perform abortions in their health care program for pastors, so they can pay for hormone blockers for minors. This is where your money's going. Okay, your little church is not liberal, but you're feeding the beast, was my point. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
There comes a time.
Yeah. Well, Mona, maybe we should do a little update for people.
Sure.
And everybody, just we want to thank you so much for watching our program. And we get letters and emails from people that say, we pray for you a lot. Thank you. I'll take those prayers because the devil doesn't like this show because I get hate mail. But what I want to encourage you to do, keep praying for us. And the way we get on the air is people like you see this program and they support us. And that's what keeps us on the air. And we need that not in order not to withdraw from stations. So if you would pray for our ministry, that's the main thing. But secondarily, if the Lord nudges you to support us, pastorstudy.org, you can support us there, or you'll see an address in a minute. But if you have friends that should see this show, you just tell them, go to pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there to watch for free whenever you like. So there you go. Also, when you go to our website, hit the F button for Facebook. I have lots of articles about false teaching in the church. So,
Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God bless you. See you next time on the Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.